Time for a drive in the country with our guest, Clint Jasper. He's a journalist for ABC Rural. Welcome to RN Drive.
Good evening.
So Murray Goulburn Cooperative have settled one of two class actions today. Who are the people suing?
That's right. So the people involved in this were investors in the unit trust, which was a part of Murray Goulburn that listed on the stock exchange. So the rest was kind of a farming cooperative. And in 2015-16, the start of that year, they listed. And they were not happy with how things turned out there.
So what were they actually suing over?
The nub of the legal case was that the statements that Murray Goulburn made in its product disclosure statement before it listed basically never came to pass. This is a settlement, so part of that is that Murray Goulburn doesn't have to admit anything here. They've kind of paid them out. But if you go right back, before this whole dairy saga started, Murray Goulburn was kind of the darling of the ag industry. I remember its former boss, Gary Helou, sat at these conferences and was praised for his strategy in China, and he was going to pay farmers $6 a litre for their milk. None of that came to pass, quite the opposite, really. So it was a big turnaround in fortunes.
So is this likely to negatively impact Murray Goulburn as a company?
There's not much left to Murray Goulburn. It's kind of a shell company sitting, it is still listed, but there's no kind of owners there. They've got a kitty of money to fight these legal battles. This one was paid out from insurance to those 1,300 institutional and retail investors. But the company itself, its assets, its brands were all sold to Canadian giant Saputo at the middle of last year. So that historic farming cooperative doesn't really exist anymore.
All right, let's talk about milk prices. All of this news coincides with the fact that wholesale milk prices are set to increase. How much are we talking about?
Well, go back to those price cuts that I just talked about that Murray Goulburn did. They cut the price to $4.75 a kilogram for milk solids, which is how the farmers get paid. These days, those companies are offering anywhere between $6.80 and $7.20 kilograms for milk solids. So huge jump. And that reflects that throughout that whole dairy crisis, so many farmers left the industry. So many, especially in northern Victoria, are struggling with drought. And so there's intense competition for what remains of the dairy industry in its heartland like Victoria. I think Tasmania is the only place that it's going up in production. So that kind of order from over the past, since 2016, it's gone from that $4.75 mark up to the highest bid at the moment is $7.20.
Supermarkets must be feeling the pressure to keep the prices down. Have they indicated whether they would absorb the cost?
They haven't, but I've heard them in parliamentary inquiries and those kind of forums discussing their strategy around the pricing of their goods. And their vision is for people to walk into stores and always know that milk's going to be this price, eggs are going to be this price, bread's going to be this price. They hate moving those prices because that's just not what they do. So they'd wait until the very last moment until they had to. We know that Coles has been starting to look at doing deals directly with farmers and bypassing the processes. So they might see a little bit more of that money. But other than that, they'd probably wait till the last minute.
So would the extra money go directly to dairy farmers?
There is extra money that already is. So $1 a milk or $1 a litre milk is over. All the retailers have moved on from that. I think they all added 10 cents to that. And that 10 cents goes directly to farmers. I guess the only bit that would go more to farmers if they moved up their price is just the same percentage of margin, really. So they don't buy, aside from what Coles is thinking, they buy milk from a processor. So that processor is the middleman between the farmer and the retailer. So it's kind of who gets pinched all the way down that supply chain in terms of when prices move around.
All right, let's keep talking about beverages, but a very different kind of beverage. When was the last time you enjoyed a cider at the pub, Clint?
It would have to be about 10 years ago, I would say.
That's a long time between drinks, Clint.
Well, I have a theory that every 5 years or so, there's a fashionable way to consume a lot of sugar. And I was at uni when the Alcopops tax came in.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And it was soon after that Alcopops tax that we started seeing cider pop up everywhere. Now I think it's the Pet Nat style of wine is the most fashionable way to drink something really sweet.
Yeah, it has become a thing. I didn't even know what people were drinking for a while. It took me some research. Apparently cider sales have dropped lately. How much are we talking?
Apparently it's $22 million just in the past 2 years. So one of the big reasons cited for that is that cider got so popular, I guess a bunch of deals were done, and then if you went to the Bottle-O in Alice Springs or the Bottle-O in Brunswick East, you'd see the same range of ciders sitting on the shelf, and consumers became really fatigued with the options is the explanation for why it's plummeted so hard.
And it's obviously alarming for cider producers, for their business interests, but they're launching into action. What are they going to do?
Well, they're...
Force people to drink cider?
Well, I guess they can only entice them, and they're doing it with... by going back and looking at type heritage types of apples and historic ingredients and basically trying to make it a really boutique offering, trying to have like a craft beer moment for cider, basically. So a little bit more fancy, maybe take some of that sweetness out would be a lot appealing to people these days in such a sugar conscious environment. But yeah, looking back at, you know, types of apples that aren't even grown for eating really, historic heritage seeds and breeds that might make a more interesting drink.
Are these like boutique providers that are doing this or thinking of doing this?
Well, at the moment it's researchers working, kind of bridging between who's growing the apples and who's making the ciders. And a lot of times a lot of apple growers themselves have branched out and made their own ciders from what they've got on farm as well. So the at the more boutique-y end, there's a very close link between the growers and the makers, and now these researchers are helping them find these older breeds and new types of trees that they might grow to make a more distinct and different cider.
Okay, so that hipsters maybe reconsider them again. That's really it, isn't it?
Well, I think you're going to have a tough slog convincing hipsters to do anything that sweet. Mm. Sugar's kind of the devil at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, look, everything has its day, doesn't it? I'm sure sugar will be a new thing at some point. I don't know, as we determine that somewhere. Hey, Clint, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Clint Jasper is a journalist for ABC Rural. It's been 10 years since he had a cider. I think it's been forever since I don't think I've even had a cider. Maybe I've had a sip.